This podcast is supported by The RealReal. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The RealReal.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The RealReal? Game changer. I earn more and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell fast to our 38 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The RealReal than anywhere else.
Exactly. This? That's the sound of your closet working for you. The RealReal. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And right now, you can get an extra $100 site credit when you sell for the first time. Go to TheRealReal.com to get your extra $100. TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com.
Hey, I know. I'll use my trusty frying pan as a drying pan.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Out of the Drying Pan, a Pokemon the Series podcast, where each week we discuss two episodes of the Pokemon series anime, whatever other random stuff we happen to think about. Just a quick reminder, we are an E for Explicit podcast, so listener discretion is advised. I'm your host, Alex, and I'm joined for an evening with my co-host, Austin. Hey, Austin.
It is indeed evening. We usually don't record on Sunday nights like this.
I know. We had to make a change in our normally scheduled programming because we had an afternoon event that we went to. So now it is almost 8 o'clock p.m. We are recording this. So fair warning, people. It might get crazy.
I am missing the Emmys for this.
I know. Austin made a huge sacrifice. Thank you for your sacrifice, Austin.
I mean, I would not miss the Oscars for this, but I will miss the Emmys for
this. I know. Austin would say, fuck off, if it was the Oscars. Okay, to be fair, I just want to commend Austin because I rescheduled twice. And Austin was very kind to be like, okay, no worries. And I did a bad thing. I rescheduled the day of, like, right before. So Austin was very accommodating.
You monster.
I know. I'm the worst.
You know what else is the worst?
What?
My refrigerator, who only makes noise when we're recording.
It knows.
I'm going to need to move rooms because this ain't working.
I don't know where else you could do it. You tried different rooms before.
I know. Ugh, when I redo the room, the second bedroom.
Okay.
I swear to God, I'm going to do it.
It is, as of recording this, it's September the 14th. So we talked about this. I know. End of the year was your goal. So we'll see what happens.
I still got time.
I know you do. You technically have a few months.
Okay, technically. What did we do today? It was your pick.
Okay, yeah. So it was my designated time to pick something to do, I suppose. I know people might judge me for this, but I actually... And I know, Austin, you said you had a bad experience with a thing that you saw on Facebook one time for your, like, wine and paint or whatever.
It will live in infamy forever.
I saw an event. I was scrolling through. It happened to come up. I think it was Instagram. But I saw an advertisement for a local place that was having a SpongeBob drag show brunch. So that is what we did today. And I was excited for it because, I don't know if we've ever told this story, maybe we did several years back. In 2020, Austin and I were going to go to a local drag show at a different venue. And it was supposed to be a SpongeBob drag show, and we couldn't go because of the infamous thing that happened in 2020.
Wait, I don't remember this.
Wasn't it? It was 2020. That was when the show was.
Was it SpongeBob themed?
Wasn't it? It was.
I don't remember.
It was
that.
The SpongeBob event.
Oh, okay. I don't remember shit anymore. It's leaving my brain. I know the first several seasons of Pokemon, and that's it at this point.
Anyway, yes, we were supposed to do something back then, but COVID ruined everything, and so. Here we are 5 years later. We went to something similar, not exactly the same, but it was a similar event. And so at long last.
It was all ages. You got to go to the adults only shows for the good stuff.
That was the thing that was like throwing me off a little bit. I was like, okay, it did say all ages and it was like a brunch. It wasn't like an evening adult thing. So I was like, I know it's going to be tame, but I feel like if we went to another event later that was for adults, there might be more jokes and it'd be a little more racy and it might be like a little more exciting. So we'll have to see if we can do something like that in the future.
Oh, I'm always open. The thing is, you got to stay up late.
I don't know. I might need to take a power nap in the middle of the day.
Okay.
I've reached that age.
I am going to make you guys go to Pride this year. So get ready for that.
I do want to go. I've never gone. Although I just hate the idea that it's like going to be hot. I hate going out in the hot sun.
Nothing you can do about it.
Climate change is real, people.
All right, that was our week. What else did you do this week?
Well, my past week has been really busy. Our recording schedule's all thrown off. I was eyeballs deep in like a massive work thing. I did finish my project. I'm proud of everything that we accomplished, so.
What have I been doing? Just Uber Eats deliveries recently.
And how's that going?
I need to do a lot more of that to make up for some unexpected charges. But, ugh.
Bills.
Bill Nye,
the science guy.
Remember that time Bill trapped himself in a Kabuto costume?
Oh, yeah. I do remember that. Those were good times. I miss season one.
Well, let's make some more good times. Let's hear what our listeners have to say. We got a message from Drano.
Oh, wow. Okay, let's hear it. What do we got?
Drano has joined our Patreon quite a while ago, actually, now.
Thank you for your support. We really appreciate it.
And patron Drano is a little behind because they have just finished Johto, the Johto Frying Pan podcast.
Okay, well, you have material.
And they have to say this, the Shuckle is 100% purple, but in all fairness to Team Blue, Drano is colorblind. Austin, you should probably get screened for colorblindness.
Yep, I agree with that.
And my response to that was, we reached a compromise on the purple versus blue war. But also, I've been checked for colorblindness, and I do not have it. But I appreciate Drano for looking out.
Yes, I'm glad your eyes are not colorblind, Austin.
I mean, they're still fucked up, but they're not colorblind.
I know, my vision gets worse every year. They keep saying, oh, it'll level off at some point, but that hasn't happened yet.
Thanks, Drano. That leads us to Pogio Megastar on Spotify, who says, speaking of Malamar,
oh my god,
what do you think of all the recent mega evolutions announced so far?
Okay, this is a two-parter. One, the megas. Okay, so we can just talk about what our favorite
officially
megas are.
Officially revealed megas.
Okay, so what do we have officially revealed? We have Mega Dragonite, Mega Victory Bell, Mega Hawlucha. What else?
Malamar. Oh, my friend Malamar.
My friend Malamar. How could I forget? And then we have the most recently, the Kalos starters.
Yes. So Chestnut, Delphox, and Greninja.
Yes. And then we have the
Raichu X and Raichu Y.
Yes.
I think that's it.
So my favorite. What's your favorite?
Mega Raichu X is my favorite.
Really? Okay. Okay. Outside of the, I know I'm cheating. Outside of the Mega Raichus.
Okay. Probably Chestnut, actually.
Really? Okay. That's interesting.
I've always liked Chestnut. And I think of the three Kalos starters, it has the best one. I like how Delphox is all witchy, but it's just not for me. I'm sorry. And I know Greninja's wearing, like, a black ninja uniform now.
Mm-hmm.
I think him being upside down on a giant shuriken is very silly. But it's just not for me. I'm a Chestnut boy.
Okay. That's a good answer. I like it. I think for me, my favorite is, I'm torn. I like Mega Malamar, for sure, unexpectedly. I love the shoulder pads. I think it's very, like, 80s. And also, I really love Mega Delphox. I didn't expect to like it as much as I did, but I love the witchy vibe.
What do you think of regular Delphox?
I like it. I never thought it would. People complained about it, but I love it. I think it's cool. It's the one I picked when I played X version back in the day. I picked Fennekin. So.
Oh, funny. I picked Chespin.
I know. So there we go.
Fuck off, Froakie. We don't like you.
So, yeah, I'm sorry to say, Froakie, but I remember people were so torn about Greninja back in the day and the tongue scarf. Everybody was like, oh my god, either they loved it or hated it.
To this day, I don't care for the tongue scarf. I'm so sorry, Greninja.
Yeah, I don't either. And I'm not sure. I know people are gonna like come for me and want to see blood for this, but I never really was a big fan of the Ash Greninja thing.
We'll get there when we get there. I think I like Ash Greninja better than Mega Greninja.
I mean, it was certainly unique.
It was different.
But speaking of, I don't know if you heard this news about the Mega Stones for the starters being locked behind ranked play.
I'm okay with that because I already pay for Nintendo Online $20 a month anyway, or $20 a year anyway. I'm not going to pay $50 a year for GameCube games and Virtual Boy games. Sorry, not sorry. But I don't know. I don't hate it. It'll probably be the first time I ever do competitive battling in a Pokemon game. That's interesting for me. But on principle, yes, I understand it's user unfriendly. It's customer unfriendly. I get the complaint. I get it.
I'm on the dissenting side as well. I think it's completely shitty. I don't pay for Nintendo Online. I'm not interested in paying for Nintendo Online. And the fact that I have to play ranked with other people to access this, like, I just want a fully single player experience. That's all I'm interested in. I know Pokemon, you might be saying, Alex, it's always been this way. Back in the days of Red and Blue, where you had to have a link cable and you had to have the other version and you want a Growlithe in your game, you have to trade. Like, I get it, but I don't know. The fact that, I mean, it wasn't locked behind, like, paying for a subscription back then. You just had to have a friend that bought the other version. Like, okay, whatever. That was bad enough, but I'm really pissed off. Like, when I saw that after the fact, I'm like, okay, well, I guess I'm not ever getting Mega Delphox unless somebody, like, clones the items or gives them out, because I'm not doing that.
Sorry, Alex.
Yeah, I'm not a fan. Oh, and then the fact, okay, talking about the DLC, I can't believe they announced DLC before the game even comes out. Paid DLC. That's fucking wild to me.
Yeah, I'm going to buy the game. I'm not going to buy the DLC until I have a bit more money in my pocket.
I don't know. I'm a little torn. I do eventually want to get the game, but now I'm just sitting here thinking, like, how big of a difference is it going to be? Switch version versus Switch 2 version. Then you got this paid DLC. Do I want to get it day one? Do I want to wait until I get a Switch 2? But I'm really not interested in getting a Switch 2. So I'm really conflicted. I don't know.
I'll tell you what, Alex. I'm going to buy the game. You can have it when I'm finished it, if you want to borrow it. Because I'm going to get the Switch 1 version, because I don't have a Switch 2, because I'm not a fucking millionaire.
I know. I can't believe I'm even saying this. Like, the fact that I'm not going to buy a Pokemon game day one, but now I'm really reconsidering everything. So, we'll see. You know what? Maybe I'll just wait. I'll wait and see what it's like for you. And if it's really god-awful on the original Switch, then I think I'll be justified in waiting.
Should we talk about the rest of the Nintendo Direct while we're here?
I think so. We're already on the topic.
Okay. Pokemon related news. Pokopia.
I don't hate it. I actually thought it was really cute.
It looks super cute. I've never played Dragon Quest Builders, but it does look adorable. And I like how it's like a post-apocalyptic landscape.
I know. Wasn't there like an implication that the Ditto is modeled after its trainer? So then that begs the question, what happened to the trainer?
I think humanity's dead.
I know. Like, is it rebuilding after some terrible calamity has happened to humanity? Like,
because, like, you start in the ruins and, yes, like, the Pokédex is destroyed.
Okay, I kind of love it. And again, but see, this is the thing. It's, I could be wrong. However, when we were watching the Direct, it did say Switch 2. So I'm thinking, is it an exclusive?
Yes.
Okay, so that
it is.
That means I'm going to have to get a Switch 2 at some point. Ugh.
I'm not going to buy a Switch 2 for Pokopia, but I will eventually buy a Switch 2 and I will get Pokopia, assuming it's not god-awful, later.
Yeah, this is not like a launch title for me where I'm like, ooh, I have to buy a console for this game. No, thank you. I think what I'm going to end up doing, honestly, now that we're talking through it, if you buy ZA for regular Switch, I might hold off, borrow it from you after you're done, and then fast forward to when Gen 10 comes out, then for sure we have to buy a Switch 2.
Oh, what if Gen 10 is a disaster, just like Scarlet and Violet were?
Oh, please don't say that. I would be so sad. I know I'm being naive to say this. I want to say, I hope Game Freak has learned a lesson after Scarlet and Violet, but considering that they're doing like paid DLC before the game even comes out and like all this other garbage and the locking the megastones behind the ranked battling, I'm like, oh no, it's going to be a disaster like Scarlet and Violet. Ugh.
Pokemon.
I know. Maybe I want to hear what you guys out there are thinking. What is your thoughts like on the direction things are going? How did you think about Pokopia or this whole Megastone business? And like, what are your thoughts about Gen 10? Like, what do you think that's going to be? You think it's going to be better than Scarlet and Violet? I hope it is. I hope they learned a lot. I hope they make it less like open world. I really just prefer a more linear Pokemon experience. I didn't like the whole, oh, you can do gyms in any order thing. Like, that was not for me.
Any other direct thoughts?
I was kind of, okay, this is not Pokemon related, but I was kind of disappointed about the lack of Super Mario stuff for the 40th anniversary. I thought that was really lackluster.
They gotta be saving a surprise for that one.
Do you think so? I mean, where else would they announce it other than the Direct?
We still got a full year of 40th anniversary.
Where's my Paper Mario game, goddammit? Was the last Paper Mario game Origami King? Was that the last one?
Yeah. Did you not like that one?
No, I loved it. It broke my heart. There was a part in there.
I know the spoiler about the sad thing that happens.
I know. That really brought it. I really cried. Like, I legitimately was like, this is really sad. I love Paper Mario. It's so good. And we deserve a new game. Because I think, when did that come out? That's been several years now, right?
Yeah, wow.
Let me see. Okay, Origami King. That was... I know they just did the re-release of Thousand Year Door.
That doesn't count.
Oh, this is more recent than I thought. This is 2020? Wow, it really has felt longer.
COVID really messed with our perceptions of time.
Yeah, it was July 17th, 2020. That's crazy. Okay, well, it's been almost over 5 years. We need a new Paper Mario.
I'm sure there's one coming.
Better be.
You should try out Mario and Luigi Brothership.
Is it good?
I don't know, but if you buy it, I can borrow it from you. So, yes.
I might. God, if only there was ever a sale. Nintendo, please.
I can't wait for our Mario podcast out of the warp pipe.
Out of the warp pipe. Out of the Mushroom Kingdom.
Out of the Toad House? I don't know.
Okay.
Any other thoughts?
Out of the question block. No, that's it. I think I'm just looking forward to seeing what happens with the whole Pokemon thing.
Nintendo, you gotta step it up a little bit. I need some more motivation. If I'm gonna spend that much money, you need to, like, properly motivate me.
I don't think... They have zero incentive to be motivated to do anything different, Austin. This franchise, Pokemon, is a money-printing machine. It doesn't matter. They have zero incentive to do anything different.
Well, I'm talking Nintendo as a whole.
Okay.
Of course, I say that as if I'm not going to buy a Switch 2 the moment they announce Smash Brothers, but whatever.
Why are we such sellouts? We are.
Let's get back to Pokemon Megastar.
Yeah.
Comments.
Okay.
So, the Trick House reminds Pokemon Megastar of another trickster Pokemon found in Hoenn. That being Alex's favorite Pokemon movie star.
Oh my god.
Hoopa.
Ah! I love Hoopa.
Pokemon Megastar's theory is that Hoopa is the explanation for the Trick House and the King of Tricks.
Oh my god, I kind of love that theory. I want more, like, can you expound upon that, Pokemon Megastar? Like,
yeah, give us more info.
I just want more Hoopa conversation. Oh, speaking of Hoopa, it appeared when they announced the Mega Dimension Megastones, and I was like, what is happening?
That's why I'm surprised you're so down on the DLC. I thought you'd be like, Hoopa is my lord.
I know, Hoopa is my absolute favorite, and I can't believe they're playing with my heart like this, dangling this bullshit DLC in front of me with Hoopa.
Mega Hoopa ring is coming.
Ale Hoopa ring. Okay, you know what, guys? I'm gonna eventually buy this. It's just a matter of when. I might wait for the Switch 2. I might just buy it all at once after I borrow it from Austin.
So here's some fun facts about Watson. The team he had to fight Ash was his Ruby and Sapphire team. But
really?
Emerald gives him an Electrike and a Manectric, so that's what's up with that, I suppose. Okay. He catches it for Emerald.
Okay, but what's his team like in Oras? Is it the same? Different?
I don't know. Oras is 14 years later. I have no idea what happened there.
I'm going to look it up while you talk about this.
Okay. Pokemon Megastar accuses me of being too harsh on Watson.
Oh.
Even though he is dangerous with the roller coaster. Yep. And Pokemon Megastar caught a shiny Electrike and Emerald.
Hey.
Let's see what that looks like. Ooh, I hope it's blue.
Yeah, it's blue. Although I don't know. I don't remember what shiny Manectric looks like.
It's a darker blue.
Oh.
Yeah, it's cute. Okay, MVPs for the Whismur episode. The MVP is Whismur for being cute. And the LVP is the Trickmaster for being so lonely. For the Watson episode, MVP and LVP being the Mecha Raikou. It's MVP for being the only appearance of Raikou until the Zoroark movie, a long time from now. And LVP for being destroyed so easily. And here's some questions for us, because it's the end of the season. What has been your favorite Hoenn Pokemon featured so far in the show?
Okay, just to real quick, before I answer that, would you be surprised to know that they did not change Watson's team in Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire? It's still a Magnemite, Voltorb, and a Magneton.
That would not surprise me.
That's shocking, actually. No pun intended. Okay, what's our favorite Pokemon that's been introduced so far?
Corphish.
Hmm.
Yeah, I'm a Corphish guy.
I don't know. I'm not sure.
of the Hoenn Pokemon featured so far in the anime up to this point.
Not the Twerp. Okay, so anything, it could be in like any episode, but not like necessarily the Twerp Pokemon, right?
I think it's just any Generation 3 Pokemon is the question.
And we haven't seen a lot of them really, right?
I mean, the answer is Nuzleaf. We love Nuzleaf.
Oh my god. I don't know. I mean, I want to say Corphish just because, like, it's got the most personality of the Pokemon. But then I'm thinking, like, design-wise, like, which one do I, like, really love?
This is why our episodes are so long.
Because we just...
This right here.
The people just like to hear us rambling. I don't know. We watched the Bagon episode. I really like Bagon. I think that's cool.
Oh, ooh, a fresh answer.
I know.
We're going to get to that.
I like Bagon. Bagon's fun.
Here's question two, related.
Okay.
Who is your favorite and least favorite of the new Twerp and Team Rocket Pokemon?
Oh my god.
Well, my answer is for the favorites, Corphish.
Okay, yeah. Of the Twerp Pokemon, definitely Corphish.
Least favorite. Okay, Mudkip.
Oh, that's so sad. Poor Mudkip.
I'm sorry, Mudkip. You gotta have a personality. Like, you got a little bit, but not enough.
Can I say Cacnea, just because it doesn't really do much and it doesn't appear very often?
That's true. We don't really mention Cacnea too often. It just like appears anything. Briefly.
Seviper is clearly the superior because it's so cute.
Yes.
It does the little brr, brr, brr thing, and it has an actual personality that we see, and it was such a baddie when we first got introduced to it. And then of course the minute Team Rocket gets it into their clutches, it becomes like a loser just like them. Oh, poor thing.
So Viper is a good backup answer for best new Pokemon, by the way.
You know what? Can I change my answer? Because you're representing Corphish. I'm going to say Seviper.
Oh, nice.
And I don't know. I'm still going to stick with my Cacnea answer. I don't know. And then Mudkip also, because it's just another nothing.
Here's the final question. What are your current thoughts on the characters overall? We now have two new main characters in May and Max, and Ash is somewhat taking up a mentor role.
Somewhat.
I'm going to say I really like the Twerp quartet as we have them now.
Yes, agreed.
I've said this before. I like how they all have different personalities. I think it works really well with the different dynamics between the four of them. Like, sorry, not sorry, Misty. It was time for you to go. Sorry.
Like, I think it's just, it's a natural progression, right? You've got to try different things. You've got to have different characters with a different personality. Like, I liked Misty for what she was in those early days, but, you know, we've evolved into something different now, so that's good. I really like the May and Max sibling dynamic. That's fun. I didn't really remember a lot of, like, what their personalities were like, but I really like May. I like her whole contest thing. That's been a favorite plot line for me so far.
And Max has been such a pleasant surprise.
I know. I didn't remember Max at all either. And so to have him be, like, so unexpectedly, like, we thought he was just going to be, like, the nothing little tag-along character that is a know-it-all or whatever. And he is a know-it-all, but, like, it works in a funny way.
Yeah, I fear he's going to drop off as we go on and he stops being a novelty.
Yeah. Do you think they're going to get... It's kind of going to get old and they're going to focus more on, like, May and her contests and Ash with the battling, of course. I don't know.
I think for the most part, after the Ralts episode, Max is going to kind of fall off the radar.
I know we've talked about this before, but I am still disappointed that we never got Wally.
Yeah, that was a mistake. Ash needed some rivals in Hoenn because as is, his journey isn't terribly exciting right now.
It seemed like such an obvious thing. Like, they could have easily gone to, Verdanturf? Is that where you meet Wally first time?
Well, you meet him right at the start.
Well, yeah, but they could have had the episode, like, written him in something with Norman, just as it happens in the game. Like, hey, this kid came to me, and then he could have been like, you guys have been traveling around. May, you're my kid, whatever. Ash, you know a lot about battling. Why don't you take Wally under your wing? And then, you know, it could have been...
For a short time.
Yeah, like an easily integrated plot point. Like, it just seems so obvious, but I'm just really surprised they never did that. Even, like you said, even for a short time.
I think Wally's the only one who's really missing. Other than, like, Courtney and... what's that guy? Matt from Team Aqua. Like, that's it. They're the only ones missing.
Shelly and Tabitha.
No, we see Shelly and Tabitha. They just have the wrong names.
I know. That's messed up. Yeah, what... Oh, the other ones. Courtney and Matt. Yeah, you're right. And where the fuck are Archie and Maxie?
They're going to come. They're coming.
Okay. Not soon enough. All right. Well, is that all your feedback? Because I think I have something.
Yes.
Our listener Liam on Instagram has sent some information over. Maybe we're gonna have to circle back to this because he sent a link to our ultimate favorite Pokemon picker. Y'all should fill this out. Either one, just up to Gen 3, because that's where y'all have gotten so far. Or two, go all out. Please share it on the feed.
Okay, we're going to do that.
Okay, that'll be next week's project. So stay tuned, Liam and everybody else. Okay, he also shares, this is what he wrote in his notes for the Jirachi movie. So let's rewind a little bit to that. Max, this is quote, this is Liam's quote. Max, sit your ass down, just running up on stage in the middle of the show. My mom would have beat my ass if I told her I did that because a rock was talking to me.
He was psychically compelled.
Could you imagine?
People would by think, the rock.
I know, you would be like involuntarily committed to some sort of facility if you did that. And then he also says, May said, quote, is it possible Jirachi and Absol know each other?
That's not a 1,000-year-old Absol, May.
Or is it like one of those, like, they're tied together with destiny, like, magic? Or maybe it's, like, generations of Absol.
Yeah, is there, like, a succession of Absols that are, like, the chosen for Rina Guardians?
Maybe. Weirder shit has happened, right? Maybe we could think about that.
Maybe that should have been in the movie. I don't know.
We talked about that when we were discussing the movie. That they barely focused on Absol. Like, it was just there in the mirror, and then we didn't really get an explanation for anything.
I have a confession. I would sacrifice 20 minutes of Gotta Dance for 20 more minutes of explanation in Jirachi Wishmaker.
Exactly. That's why it was such a chore to get through that Gotta Dance short, because it was literally a bunch of dancing. We could have easily just sped through that and had more in the movie, but no.
Well, we're in luck.
What's
that? That's what's going to happen next movie.
Okay. Do we get more movie time?
The sacrifice of the Pikachu shorts means more movie time.
Yes.
Yeah, fuck the Pikachu shorts. I'm sorry. Let's get the movies to have better content.
Okay, but you guys can agree with me, right? Like, would you rather have more in the actual movie itself, or would you rather have more in the Pikachu shorts? Like, I think the answer is clear, but I could be wrong.
That's a good question for everyone. Answer that.
Yeah, answer that. What is the next movie, by the way? I always forget. I ask this all the time.
This is like the fourth time I've had to say it.
I can't remember.
Deoxys.
Okay, right. Destiny Deoxys. Got it. Thank you, Liam, for the project. We will work on that. We will circle back for sure. I love picking out favorite Pokemon. It's like one of the most favorite things.
I know. Can you believe people on the internet ask us, what's your favorite Pokemon?
I know. My God. Can you believe we've gotten to this point in our lives? You guys make it so much fun to do a Pokemon podcast. Like, this is something we talked about for a long time, and we've been doing this for years. Like, we really love it. It's genuinely, like, so much fun, so.
Yeah, we want to hear your favorites, too, to be honest. Like, I want to hear what y'all have to think.
It's always nice to hear you guys' thoughts, too. And I love to hear people's Pokemon, like, favorites, so.
That's why I read Pokemon Megastars MVP and LVP every single week. So yes, there you go.
Exactly.
I like sharing the opinions.
Exactly. Okay, well, thanks, guys. I think that's all the feedback. So, we are going to jump right into our episodes. We loved that, just like some of these characters love each other. We have Love at First Flight, and God, I hope I watched the right episodes. Love at First Flight and Let Bagons Be Bagons.
It's funny you say that, because for some reason, the complete season DVD released by Viz Media for Pokemon Advanced Challenge has the episodes out of sequence.
Please tell me I did not watch the wrong thing.
No, you watched the right thing. Oh, but I started it, and it started with the Bagon episode. And I'm like, that doesn't seem right to me.
The bagel episode.
I'm going to have to really keep an eye on that, make sure I'm watching the right thing, because these fucking DVDs are out of order.
You gotta consult the official media source page, Bulbapedia, to make sure we're on the right episode.
I actually use Serapy.net for the episode order.
Oh.
Which constantly has typos in their episode listings, so I have to, like, double check.
God, we are so canceled for all the shit we give, like, these online websites. I know we give them a lot of shit, but we use them for resources and research, so.
They are very useful, if not always accurate.
They are a useful tool, even though they cannot get the Pokemon Christmas thing right, even though it said on there that they were committed to accuracy, and I think that's the funniest thing ever.
That was one of my all-time favorite out of the drying pan moments.
We should have a top five. Like, what did you... Okay, this is what I want to know. Do you guys... Like, you've watched up until this point, hopefully all of you listening. What's your favorite, like, out of the drying pan moments?
Oh my God, Tristan gave us a list of his favorite moments the time he was on the podcast.
I think one of them was like a Waffle House thing, which of course...
He went to Waffle House because we talked about it so much.
I know, isn't it great?
And his wife was like, what is this?
I know, she's like, this is the most disgusting shit ever.
Correct.
It is disgusting, but in the best kind of way. Anyway, I want to know what the rest of you guys think. Like, do you have top drying pan moments?
All right. You want to start the episode?
Okay, yes. Okay, so if Austin has the right one first, it's love at first flight. So who's doing what?
Let me flip the coin. There it goes.
All the way. There it is. Oh my God, on the floor.
Okay, I'm doing the 30 seconds, which really bums me out because I wanted to recap this episode. But really? I'll do it.
Gotta abide by the coin. I know we don't always abide by the coin, but...
These are rather inconsequential episodes. Who cares?
Okay, can we just get it out of the way? I'm not sure what you guys thought of these. These were not a thrilling pair of episodes, I'm sorry to say.
I can't help but love these episodes because these are the first episodes I saw after I returned to Pokemon. After buying Emerald version. No, wait, I think watching these episodes made me buy Emerald version.
Are you serious?
I'm dead serious.
Oh my God.
Because they were airing these on the Kids WB Aftertoon block or something like that.
Oh my God, those are such
good days. The Aftertoon show.
Oh, can we please go back to those times? I miss it so much.
No, we're not going back to the early 2000s. I know 2025 is incredibly fucked up, but we're not going to go back to 2005 either.
Okay, you're right.
Okay, so we're entering a period of episodes I adore and are close to my heart. And that I had recorded on Maxwell VHS copies.
Do you guys out there remember VHS or are we showing our age?
I have dozens of hours of mid-2000s. Actually, I did this in the 90s too. I have lots of hours of Kids WB recordings of Pokemon episodes. Basically, from 1999 through 2001 and then... through 2004-ish to 2006.
Wow.
At my parents' house. I need to digitize that and see if there's anything of merit on there.
Can you imagine? Kids these days will never know the pain of having to record a tape, you know, like taping your favorite show, and then like the horrible feeling that when you realize like, oh my God, I taped over XYZ on my VHS tape. Like, they will never know
that. Yeah. That happened on a school project for me once.
Oh, yikes. Okay. We've come so far.
Let's do this Romeo and Juliet episode.
Romeo, oh Romeo, wherefore art thou, Romeo? In 30 seconds, 3, 2, 1, go.
Wait, one second. No, I'm not ready.
Do, 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 do. What are you doing? Oh my goodness.
All right, now I'm ready.
Okay, I don't know what is happening, but in 3, 2, 1, you're going to tell us. Go!
But soft, what light through yonder window breaks? It is the east, and Juliet is the sun. Arise, fair sun, and kill the envious moon, who's already sick and pale with grief. That thou her maid art far more fair than she, but not her maid, since she is envious. Her vestral livery is but sick and green, and none but fools do wear it. Cast it off. It is my lady, oh, it is my love. Oh, that she knew she were. She speaks, yet she says nothing. What of that? Her eye discourses.
Time.
I will answer it.
Okay. Keep going.
No.
I was not expecting a true rendition of Romeo and Juliet.
I was hoping I'd be able to, like, Pokemonify it up, but that I didn't get the chance.
No, sorry. Can we just quickly talk about how Shakespeare exists in Pokemon world? Like, that's fun.
Oh, did they say Shakespearean in this episode?
I mean, Brock was quoting Shakespeare, like Romeo and Juliet, so I'm assuming.
Oh, I remember one episode we had Tony and Maria.
Oh, yeah.
The Nidorans. And they were owned by the boy and the girl.
Right.
It was in the Orange Islands. And Misty's like, this is like Shakespeare's time or something like that.
Okay, so we have had a reference in the past then.
I think we have.
I couldn't remember exactly if we did or not, but I just think that's funny.
So yeah, yet another Romeo and Juliet episode. Not our first one.
Okay, to be fair, that was like a long time ago, the Nidoran thing. I think we could safely redo a plot.
Yeah, we got a male and a female Pokemon. It's like, let's just do Romeo and Juliet again. Fuck it.
Am I being too preemptive by asking, like, what do we think about Volbeat and Illumise?
I like them. I prefer Volbeat.
Yeah, I don't know. I just thought they were really inconsequential. Like, they just kind of... One stage or Pokemon are always like that for me.
I mean, they're very Plusle and Mine Uncoded in that they're version counterparts to each other.
I always got the pronunciation of Illumise wrong. I always thought it was like Illumise or something.
I never did because this episode's how I learned what Illumise even was.
Okay.
Because I didn't have Ruby and Sapphire.
I should have known better. Anyway, okay, let's talk about this. We are at a lake. It's a very picturesque lake. But it's not just any lake. We are at Lake May.
It's gonna be Lake May.
It's gonna be May. Okay, I thought that this was gonna have way more plot relevance, the fact that they call it that. But literally, we just get this one thing, and then it's, like, never mentioned again. So I was like, okay. I thought this was gonna be a May episode, and it really wasn't. So sorry to burst your bubble if you're thinking that.
Drew should have been there, and we could have had a romance plot.
Oh, what happened with that? I feel like that's such a missed opportunity. Now that you've said that, ugh. Anyway, so we see two new Pokemon, which surprisingly, Brock seems to recognize right away. He's like, oh my god, it's a Volbeat and a Illumise. Can you believe it?
The only one who should recognize them is Pikachu, who met a Volbeat in a Pikachu short.
I know. Well, he didn't. He acted like he never saw them before, so... We pull out the Pokédex at the exact same time. May has hers and Ash has his. And we get the Pokédex entry. So as they put their Pokédexes away, Nurse Joy calls to them from right over next to them. And it turns out we were standing right by a huge crowd with, like, bleachers and stuff the whole time. I was like, oh, surprise. They are just in time for the May Festival. Wow.
Is it an annual festival that happens every May?
They didn't specify, although I'm going to go out on a limb and say this is an annual festival.
Okay, great. We're going to count it.
We're going to count it. It's a festival. And wow, wouldn't you know it, it's just about to start. But I was a little confused about this because I think they were all gathered there to watch them practice.
There's not much to do in the area around Lake May. There's not anything to do.
No, I guess. These people just kind of live boring lives.
Just go over to the watermelon patch. Like... That's about it.
Watermelon patch, Lake May, thrilling stuff. Joy is like, yes, the practice show is about to start, so why don't you, like, take a seat and check it out? It's really fun. And hey, look, when you know it, there's the main attraction. The trainers, Romeo and Juliet. That is their names. Wow.
What a coincidence that those are their names.
I know. They really could not have phoned it in anymore, but they did.
What else would they call them? Like... Romy and Julie?
I don't even know.
Rome?
Rome and Jewel? I don't know.
Jules?
I mean, she could have been like Julie or Julia or something, and he could have just been like Roman or something, maybe. Roman.
Ooh, Roman. That's perfect.
But they really just went right for the obvious, and they call him Romeo and Juliet. We are introduced to Romeo and Juliet. Romeo is a shrinking violet. He's very timid and meek, and he's generally a bumbling Muppet of a man because he is just, he cannot get it together. He drops his Pokeballs all over the place. He's like, oh, dearie me. Oh, and they're both British, by the way. Brock is like super mean to him right off the bat. He's like, that guy's a loser. Oh my God. He's such an idiot. He can't do anything right. Ha ha. We should make fun of him.
You know what Brock is doing?
What?
He's playing the role as the Count Paris.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Can you draw the like parallels between like all the other Romeo and Juliet characters? Because I can't remember.
I guess Nurse Joy is the handmaid for Juliet.
Who's Mercutio? Who's Tybalt? I don't even know.
Mercutio's Volbeat.
Okay.
And I don't know who Illumise is. Okay. How many other female characters are? Lady Montague. I don't know.
Okay. It's been a long time since I've seen the Leonardo DiCaprio Romeo and Juliet movie.
I've never seen it. I've seen parts of it, but not the whole thing.
They never made you watch it in high school?
Mm-mm.
That's when I watched it.
I think we watched a 60s version, and it was very controversial because you see Romeo's ass.
Wow, a butt on TV.
Oh my God. So the teacher literally put up like a piece of like poster board so
you couldn't see Romeo's ass.
Not kidding.
Censor the butt. Oh my God.
I'm going to look for that butt right now, and we're going to share it in the chat.
You know, there's nothing more corrupting to the youth than seeing a man's butt cheeks.
Butt.
Ass to ass.
It's not that movie.
Sorry.
Oh my God, it's not coming up when I Google it. I'm going to Google Romeo and Juliet 1968 ass.
Oh my God, you're going to be on a list or something.
Oh, that still doesn't come up.
Is there not a single screenshot? That's really surprising.
No, it's not on the internet. That's crazy.
I guess there are certain things that don't exist on the internet, just like that one Professor Sycamore meme that I am so upset it disappeared from the internet. If you don't know what I'm talking about, well, I'm not in the mood to explain it.
Like, I'm seeing a lot of him, like, in bed with her, but I'm not seeing any ass. Okay, anyway.
Are you sure this isn't, like, a false memory or something? Like, you just, like...
I don't know. It could be. But speaking of asses, which I frequently imagine to happen around me.
Okay.
Illamize and Volbeat have very special asses.
Yeah, what's up with the butts? Volbeat has, like, a little ball on its butt, and Illamize has cutouts? I don't even know what's going on.
Yeah, does she? That's interesting.
Like, why does she not have the ball?
I'm trying to remember. In real life, is it the female fireflies are the ones that blink, or is it the male ones?
I thought it was the male ones, but I could be wrong. Wait, okay, female firefly blink? Do female fireflies blink? Yes, many female... Okay, this is the AI. I'm so sorry. Yes, many female fireflies flash as a way to respond and attract flying males of the same species.
Oh, so they both do it, according to Google AI.
Okay, sure.
But yes, her bulb is much less pronounced than the Volbeat's bulb.
Well, they're okay, Pokemon. I mean, they're not like the worst, but they're not the best either. So anyway, back to what we were saying. So Brock is giving this poor man a hard time. He's like, oh, wow, you're such a loser, loser. And Ash is like, no, I am going to step in and be the wingman. And he's like, yeah, you could do it, Romeo. Like, you got this. Which, unexpected, like, wingman Ash. I kind of appreciated that.
Ash is Tybalt.
I know. Is Tybalt the wingman? Is he Romeo's, like, second in command kind of dude? I think.
God,
I
remember right.
Just pull up a cast list. Jesus.
No, he's a difficult one. He's an antagonistic character.
Okay, so wait, is it Mercutio who's the wingman?
Mercutio is the wingman.
Okay, yeah. So Ash is the Mercutio, Brock is the Tybalt then.
Does Tybalt kill Mercutio?
Somebody dies, I can't remember.
Yes, he does. Tybalt kills Mercutio.
Okay. So Brock kills Ash?
Well, he's gonna try to do something to Ash in this episode.
Oh, that is true. I'm sure Brock would love to kill Ash because Ash is terrible to Brock half the time. But
deserved.
Brock fantasizes about it anyway. So things go from bad to worse because poor Romeo. Oh, Romeo, he drops his like Volbeat command glow stick that he has, and the Volbeats cannot function. This, you know what this reminded me of? This reminded me of when the Growlithe
tweet.
Oh,
oh, that too.
Tweet Ariel and her Lady Ba whistle. But no, it reminded me of the Growlithe that Officer Jenny had that could not recognize her voice, even though they were staring right at her, because Team Rocket had the voice-changing megaphone.
That's a classic episode.
That was such a classic episode. I love that. But these Volbeat cannot use their eyes, just like Growlithe cannot use their eyes. And so when he drops the glow stick, they crash all over the place. They fall into Illamize, who crashes into the water and starts drowning, and they all start drowning. And it's terrible.
For the record, there's like 5 Volbeats and 1 Illamize.
Yeah, I'm not sure what the point of having more than one Volbeat is. I thought it was a little weird. Like, I thought it should just have been 1 and 1, but that might be just me.
Like, did their lights look different from a distance?
No, I don't know. They were all the same. That's why it was confusing, because I was like, why isn't it just like the 1 Volbeat and the 1 Illamize? Like, whatever. She should have had multiple Illamize if that was going to be the case.
Yeah.
But no.
She'd be leader of the pack.
Sure.
Like the Shangri-Las.
So all the Volbeat start to drown, and it's just an absolute cluster. And so Juliet is like, get the fuck out of my way, Romeo. So she pushes him in the water, and it turns out he can't swim, so he starts to drown too.
This is very Shakespearean because it's a comedy of errors.
I know.
Ayo!
So everybody's dying, and he's like, oh my God, help me. So then Ash and Brock jump into action and call out their Pokemon. And they're like, Lotad, Mudkip, Corphish, please help us all. So they go and jump in to try to save their lives. Phew, crisis averted. But Romeo is such a bumbling buffoon that he ends up sitting on Corphish's spikes on his head. And he falls right back in the water and starts to drown again. And I thought the Torps were just going to leave him there. And that was going to be the end of the episode. But no, they save him again. Team Rocket is, of course, watching from the reeds. And Meowth is scheming on how to capture the Volbeat and the Illamize for the boss, because that's just what Giovanni wants.
Tell us why he would want them.
Oh, I'll tell you why. Apparently, Giovanni wants a dancing show so that he can feel unburdened, because being the boss is a hard job and he needs to have like a dancing light show in order to feel better. Because he has, of course.
I wish every episode had like a reality where it shows what would actually happen if they tried to do this scheme.
Giovanni would be like raging at them. He would absolutely hate this. He'd be like, why the hell are you bringing me this Pokemon? I don't need this crap.
Put it in the Rocket Prize Master.
I know. We need to really see Giovanni, though, in like real life and see what he's up to.
Not going to be for a while.
No, sadly. Meanwhile, the twerps are offering to help Romeo practice his part of the light dance show for the May Festival. And he explains to them that everything always goes okay when it's him practicing by himself with Volbeat. But Beat, okay, so the main Volbeat with a little bow tie, his name is Beat. Very, very unique and convenient. Beat gets so nervous around Illumise, though, that when they try to practice together and rehearse the show together, they always mess up because he cannot get his head on straight. And this part's kind of funny because Ash does not understand what love is. So he's like, oh my God, Romeo, you sound like ill. You need to go to the hospital. And May is like, no, you silly goose. He's lovesick. That's why he gets all sweaty and shaky around this girl. It's because he can't help himself. He's so nervous.
Love Ash. When has he ever said to anyone, you need to go to a hospital right now?
I know. He was so concerned. He's like, oh my God, you have clammy night sweats and shaking and you can't speak and your throat closes up and stuff. That sounds like really serious, man. You got to go to the hospital.
He was looking out for Romeo in the only way he knew how, which was being stupid.
He was really trying, but Ash doesn't know what love is. He only knows what love is when it comes to Pikachu. But May is like, oh, Ash, when you get older, you'll understand what love is, even though they're the same age.
May doesn't look the same age.
I know. We've we've talked about that, too. So May, being the matchmaker that she is, has a brilliant idea. And she's like, okay, I know what we can do. We're going to practice this out. But we need a stand-in for our rehearsal for Romeo getting over his nervousness. So, Ash, I need a favor from you.
Here's where I interrupt you.
Please interrupt.
Okay, trainers. Which one of these Pokemon is the best to battle Mudkip? Torchic, Roselia, or Plusle?
Oh, I forgot about the trainer's choice. Oh, thank you for interjecting, because I totally forgot. Okay, what was the question again?
Okay, trainers. Which one of these Pokemon is the best to battle Mudkip? Torchic, Roselia, or Plusle?
I'm going to say Roselia.
Okay, trainers, if you said Plusle, you were right.
Ah, my God, no.
Fucking Ash. He got that one wrong.
Ash, that's really embarrassing, and you should feel horrible for that.
Obviously, Roselia and Plusle were both the correct answer.
Both the correct answer?
Yeah, because it's a water type, and a grass and electric type are the best answers.
Okay, wait, what about, oh, this is so first grade, I can't believe I'm even asking this, I should know. What about the ground typing? Doesn't that cancel out the...
Mudkip does not get a ground typing until it evolves.
Oh, I always forget that. Oh my goodness. I am such a bad Pokemon fan. LVP to me for forgetting that.
You and Ash both.
I know. I'm bad. I'm just as bad as Ash. And I deserve to be shunned.
Alex, were you the one writing the Pokemon Trainer's Choice questions?
Yes, it was me. Oh, you well. Fool. I'm such a fool. I'm just like Romeo. I'm such an idiot.
What's funny is you said Roselia, so you were technically right under your own logic. Okay, whatever. Pokemon Trainer's Choice, it's over now.
Okay, so May has a brilliant plan, and she's like, Ash, you are going to play the part of Juliet in this little play that we're doing, and you are going to dress up exactly like her in her clothes, and somehow we have gotten that plus a wig that looks exactly like her hair.
Does this imply that Juliet wears a wig and that they broke into her home and took all her stuff?
I'd see no other explanation, but that means she has multiple of the same shirt, too, because she, like, Ash wears the same shirt and pants.
Well, she is a cartoon character. They only have one outfit, and they own multiple copies of it.
The hair thing was a little suspicious, though. I'm like, how do you have her wig?
May's ready for anything.
I guess. Well, I don't know. She is a coordinator. Maybe she just, like, put together something. I'm not sure. So Ash, of course, dresses up as Juliet, and it gets very mad at May because... He's like, why can't you dress up as the girl character? And she's like, well, I can't do it because I'm the coach. Well, fair enough.
I like how this is like the only explicit Romeo and Juliet moment in the entire episode.
I know. Because
Ash Juliet is on a balcony.
Well.
And then Romeo climbs up to have sex with him, I guess.
Oh my god. Romeo doesn't really, like, play along very well. He was pretty frustrating. They're like, okay, now practice your confession to Juliet. And I don't think he really even gets a chance to, because Brock absolutely loses his mind and cannot differentiate between Ash in a Juliet outfit versus the real Juliet. So he jumps in and starts harassing Ash and chasing him around.
So once upon a time.
Yeah.
I posted this clip to YouTube.
Once upon a time.
It has since been pulled for copyright.
Oh, I'm so sad.
But it got a lot of views.
What was the context of you posting this video?
I don't know. I couldn't find it on YouTube and that pissed me off. So I had to like rip it myself and put it on fucking YouTube. This was like when I was like 15.
What about this specific moment made you want to like track it down and post the video?
I can't remember the context.
Personal project?
I must have been. Fan fiction.
Oh, fan fiction.
What is Ash and Brock's ship name called?
I'm sure there is a ship name. Are you looking it
up?
Lord,
oh, Lord, let's find out.
Brash.
Ash and Brock
ship. Is it Brash?
Brash. Boulder shipping.
Boulder shipping.
Ew, that's awful. I hate the Pokemon ship names.
What would you call it instead?
Sprinkler shipping.
No, that's Pikachu and Onyx.
Oh. An obscure ship, but one Alex loves nonetheless.
Yeah, that's totally my one true pairing, right?
What is Ash and May?
Oh, God. That doesn't work for me.
Okay, Ash and May is advanced shipping.
What's May and Drew? Oh, my gosh.
Contest shipping.
Oh, I thought it was going to be like Rose shipping or something.
Ooh, that'd be, we need to name these. Okay, here's May and Brock.
What? Oh, no. Oh, no, no.
Oh, this is actually a good one.
What?
Shopping shipping.
Oh my god, okay, that's actually really clever because they always go shopping together.
That's an awesome choice. Love that.
Love that, okay.
Okay, the Jesse and James one is good too.
What?
Rocket shipping.
Of course. Of course it's rocket shipping.
That's clever. Okay, thanks Wikipedia on that
one. Thank you. Okay. Where were we? I got so distracted.
Brock is currently sexually harassing Ash, who is dressed as a Juliet. Just a normal episode of Pokemon.
Brock is like Pepe Le Pew. He's chasing around the cat. He won't leave Ash alone. Ash is like, please get the fuck away from me. And Romeo is just sitting there simpering and not doing anything. And it's really pathetic, actually.
Romeo did not ask for this.
No.
This is happening to him.
All these children have like converged on him. And they're like, we're going to help you. And he's like, okay.
Are we to assume Romeo and Juliet are like teenagers, right?
No, oh my god, they seem like mid-20s at least.
I thought they were like 16.
Are you kidding? They look like adults.
No, they're like only an inch taller than Brock.
Are you serious? Maybe I completely...
I thought so.
...had the wrong idea. No, I thought they were like adults. I thought they were at least like Jesse and James's age.
Okay, here's the canonical answer. Juliet is 13, just shy of her 14th birthday.
Are you kidding? Where are you reading
this? And Romeo is 16. This is from the Shakespeare play Romeo and Juliet.
Oh, not the show. That's their ages. Okay, no, no, not in the anime. They were like adults, for sure. They were adults.
Well, I guess the end of the episode does imply that they actually are adults.
Yeah, because So, unbeknownst to Romeo, Juliet is also in love with him. But because nobody can use their words and they can't just have a conversation with each other, all this love has gone unrequited, and she is currently somewhere, and she's having a conversation with Illumise, and she's like, oh, Illumise, I'm so sad. Romeo doesn't even talk to me, and he's so different than what he used to be in our childhood, because they have known each other since they were small children. As children, she does the thing that kids do, and they're like, oh my god, when we grow up, we should totally get married. And Romeo back then is like, okay, I promise, I'll marry you. And so this whole time, she's been nursing this secret love for him and is just waiting for the day that he's going to ask her to marry him. And she's like, I guess he never will because he's never shown me that he actually likes me and I don't even know what to do.
Well, damn, Juliet, maybe y'all should go on a date first.
I know, damn, girl. You know, what year is this? You can ask him to just say, hey, you want to go out one day? Like, I like you. But she doesn't say anything, so he doesn't know either. Back at Team Rocket, they have devised a plan to dress Meowth up as a Volbeat to lure Illumise into their giant net trap and kidnap her. So because Juliet hasn't gone to the ophthalmologist or optometrist lately and her vision is terrible, she doesn't really see and notice that that is not a real Volbeat. So she's like, oh, I guess Illumise went off to hang out with Volbeat. Okay. But then she gets suspicious after a while when she doesn't return. And she's like, oh, that's so strange. I better find Romeo and see what's going on. So she does. She finds the twerps and Romeo. And she overhears their whole, like, because they're in the middle of, like, doing this rehearsal thing. So she, like, goes over and sees this. And she's like, oh, my God, you actually really like me. Ah.
Okay, I think you're glossing over exactly the scene that Juliet has come to witness.
Okay.
Imagine you're Juliet.
Okay.
You're going over to Romeo's house. You get there, and there's Romeo, surrounded by those children who saved your Illumise from drowning earlier. The children have dressed up a 10-year-old boy in the clothes and a wig to look exactly like you, and are having Romeo make a love confession to this little boy who is dressed like you.
Okay.
And calling him Juliet.
Okay, now that you've said it that way, I could see where there might be a little bit of concern. However, Juliet does not think that this is the weirdest fucking thing she's ever witnessed. She's actually quite taken with this whole thing, so.
Juliet is a freak.
She's a freak, for sure. She's like, oh my God, oh, you felt this way the whole time? Ugh.
I think Juliet should be calling Officer Jenny, but I mean, she would do nothing, so she knows better.
I mean, I know, she doesn't call this out. She's not like, what the hell are you doing, you motherfuckers?
Why is a stranger child dressed like me?
She's like, where did you get my clothes? Did you break into my house? Like, what's happening?
How did you get a wig that looks just like my hair? What the fuck is going on here?
I know, why are you confessing to this boy? So, I think, and I could be mixing up events, but I'm pretty sure this is where they discover that it was not Romeo's Volbeat that went away with Illumise. This is some mystery Volbeat. And they're like, we better investigate. So they run off to a steep cliff. And Romeo impresses Juliet with his physical prowess because, I don't know, I mean, this was pretty impressive. He starts climbing up a cliff.
That is all muscle.
Yeah,
under that shirt.
A completely sheer cliff face, and he just starts free climbing up this cliff with Ash, and she's like, oh, damn. I bet you if he took those clothes off, he'd be like 100% muscle under there.
Oh, my God.
Could you imagine?
Romeo's hot. We should see his ass.
Oh, my God. You think he's got a six-pack under there?
No, I don't think he does. I think he's got like one of those bulky physiques that's really strong.
Oh, he's got the secret muscle.
Yeah, Romeo doesn't have the body type to have visible abs, but he's strong as fuck, though.
He's really strong, right. So he climbs up this sheer cliff face, completely unassisted, with Ash, and Juliet is very impressed, and she's like, oh my God, I have to, like, get into those suspenders. I have to see what's under there.
Come meet me at the balcony.
Bring your bow tie. Ooh.
Keep it on.
Keep it on. All right, so they get to the top of the cliff where Team Rocket is waiting, and they are inexplicably dressed as a Volbeat and an Illumise, and I have no idea where on earth they would have gotten these costumes from, but that's Jesse and James for you.
It's a Shakespeare production.
I forgot.
They got it from behind the curtain, from backstage.
The same place they got the wig.
Of course.
And Juliet's clothes. Not much to say about this part, really. The Twerps and Romeo work together and blast Team Rocket off again, and they save the day. Wowzers. And finally, it all comes to a culmination where Romeo confesses his love, finally, to Juliet, and, spoiler alert, they agree to get married, just as he promised. And that's how Romeo got his groove back.
Oh my God, 0 to 100 with these people. Why do they always go like, I like you? And then the answer is, let's get married.
I know. Where was the in-between? You guys have not even dated. You haven't even, like, lived together. You don't even know if you're compatible.
4 hours ago, you thought he hated you, Juliet.
Okay, maybe we should ask and poll the audience. What do we think? Do we think living together before you get married is a good thing, like a test drive? Or do you think that you should get married first and then...
I realize this is based on cultures.
Yes.
But I definitely think, at least in American culture, it makes more sense to live together as roommates before you get financially involved through marriage. Because you got to see if you can cohabitate before you make the final plunge.
Yeah, what if you're incompatible living together and then you've already tied your entire life to that person?
Mm-hmm.
And then how do you extricate yourself once you've completely intertwined everything? These are just personal opinions. Maybe other people feel differently.
Ceasing to be roommates is a lot easier financially than a divorce is. So, right. Yeah.
I mean, if you're roommates and you have to just like, okay, I have to sublease or I have to just break the lease and move out, like if it doesn't work out or whatever, just finish things out. But then you're not tied to somebody and you're not like, oh, we have children or we have bank accounts and like all these things together. So
what we didn't see happen was that after the May Festival, Romeo poisoned himself
to make himself
appear to be dead. And Juliet mistakenly thought he was actually dead and went to the tomb and stabbed herself. No, wait, other way around. What am I thinking? Why am I gender fucking Romeo and Juliet? Juliet's the one who got poisoned. And then Romeo, wait, how the fuck did it go?
No, okay. Juliet, wasn't there like a friar involved? I can't remember his name.
Yes, the friar was like the potion maker guy.
Right. And then she's like, I need a potion. I need your strongest potion seller. And so then she's like, okay, give me that. And so she drinks it.
Okay, she was the one who was comatose or whatever. And then Romeo went, killed Paris, I think, found her tomb, kisses her, kills himself. Then she wakes up in that moment and is like, oh, I'm going to kill myself with the dagger too. Bleh!
I can't remember who came up with the plan to have her do the fake poison anyway.
Was it the friar?
But why?
Okay, we are due for a rewatch of Romeo and Juliet.
Oh my god.
We're forgetting the details here. People are listening to this and are like, you fucking clowns don't remember Romeo and Juliet?
No, I'm looking it up right now because I can't deal with this. I need to know. Here we go. I'm gonna read the fucking plot. Y'all skip ahead if you want to, but I gotta do this for my own sanity. Okay, something, something, street brawl, Montagues and Capulets. I'm going to just go through this. Okay. The Prince of Verona intervenes and declares for the breach of the peace is punishable by death. Paris talks to Capulet about marrying his daughter, Juliet. But Capulet asks Paris to wait another 2 years and invites him to attend a planned ball. Lady Capulet and Juliet's nurse try to persuade her to accept Paris's courtship. Even though she's a child, it's very strange. Meanwhile, Benvolio talks to cousin Romeo, Montague's son, about Romeo's recent depression. Benvolio discovers that it stems from unrequited infatuation for a girl named Rosaline, one of Capulet's nieces.
I completely forgot about Rosaline.
I know. Rosaline was like the older sultry girl who was like sexually experienced, right?
Who like he was already fucking her.
Yes.
Right?
Yes,
before this went down? Yeah.
Yes. Persuaded by Benvolio and Mercutio, Romeo attends the ball in hopes of meeting Rosaline. However, he meets and falls in love with Juliet instead. Juliet's cousin Tybalt is enraged at Romeo for sneaking into the ball, but is stopped from killing him by Juliet's father, who does not wish to shed blood in his house. Well, you know, facts. After the ball, in what is now famously known as the balcony scene, Romeo sneaks into the Capulet orchard and overhears Juliet at her window vowing her love for him in spite of her family's hatred of the Montagues. Romeo makes himself known to her, and they agree to be married. With the help of Friar Lawrence, oh, that motherfucker, okay, who helps to reconcile the two families through their children's union. They are secretly married the next day. Oh, I forgot. They actually did get married. Okay.
Right.
So Tybalt, meanwhile, he's still incensed that Romeo had snuck into the ball, and so he challenges him to a duel.
How about Tybalt? You call the fuck down. Like, I know. Calm down.
Tybalt needs to just... Dude, like, this is a non-issue. You're making it an issue.
This is why Tybalt is Ash.
I know. He considers Tybalt his kinsman and refuses to fight, because, right, they're married now, right? So he's like, you're my brother now. Mercutio is offended by his insolence... Tybalt's insolence, as well as Romeo's vile submission, and accepts the duel on Romeo's behalf. Mercutio is fatally wounded when Romeo attempts to break up the fight and declares a curse upon it the houses before he dies. Grief-stricken and racked by guilt, Romeo confronts and slays Tybalt. Oh my god, everybody's dying. Montague argues that Romeo has justly executed Tybalt for the murder of Mercutio. The prince, now having lost a kinsman in the warring family feud, exiles Romeo from Verona under penalty of death if he ever returns. Romeo secretly spends the night in Juliet's chamber, where they consummate their marriage. Oh my goodness. Capulet, misinterpreting Juliet's grief, agrees to marry her to Count Paris and threatens to disown her when she refuses to become Paris's joyful bride. When she then pleads for the marriage to be delayed, her mother rejects her. Juliet visits Friar Lawrence for help, and he offers her a potion that will put her into a death-like coma for 2 and 40 hours.
All friars have that potion at hand.
Right? Who doesn't have a potion that can just put you into a faux death? The friar then promises to send a messenger, Friar John, to inform Romeo of the plan so he can rejoin her when she awakens. On the night before the wedding, she takes the drug and, when discovered, apparently dead, is laid in the family crypt. Friar John, however, this is the... Okay, Friar John is the true...
There's two friars.
Yeah. Friar John is, like, the messenger, not the potion maker. He, however, is unable to deliver the message about Juliet to Romeo because the onset of a plague makes travel impossible? What? I didn't remember this at all. Oh, my goodness. Instead, Romeo learns of Juliet's apparent death from his servant, Balthazar.
If you're going to do a modern-day version of Romeo and Juliet, the plague would be COVID.
Oh, my goodness. Ah.
Sorry. Go on.
Heartbroken, Romeo buys poison from an apothecary. God, there's just poison everywhere. And goes to the Capulet crypt. He encounters Paris, who has come to mourn Juliet privately. Believing Romeo to be a vandal, Paris confronts him, and in the ensuing battle, Romeo kills Paris. Still believing Juliet to be dead, he drinks the poison for Romeo. Juliet then awakens and discovers Romeo is dead, stabs herself with the dagger, and joins him in death. The feuding families and the prince meet the tomb to find all three of them dead. Okay, now Great. We all remember the story.
Okay, so MVP and LVP for Juliet are Romeo and Juliet. My LVP is Tybalt.
My LVP is Friar Lawrence for this fucking stupid idea of poisoning.
My MVP is Rosaline for avoiding all this entirely. Like, she steered clear. She didn't even know what was going on.
I know. God, who do I want to give it to? Who deserves it? Does anybody else in that fucking play deserve it?
Mercutio for putting a plague on the houses.
Oh, yeah, Mercutio. He knew it was happening. He's like, I'm going to get out of here. Blah, I'm going to die. So that was the story.
All right. Do you want to do MVP, LVP, and quote?
For real, sure.
Okay. I'm going first. My MVP is going to be Romeo for his banging gym pod.
Okay.
And my LVP is going to be... Oh, gosh. Brock for sexually harassing Ash. That's not cool.
Yeah, Brock, you can't be, like, that horny. Nobody's that horny, right? Or, well, I don't know.
Maybe. Nobody's horny enough to fuck Ash.
Ash is not, like... Okay, I can't believe this is coming out of my mouth. Maybe I should not talk about this. Ash is not a sexual being. You cannot sexualize him.
I think an adult Ash is a sexual being. I think it's like Goku, where he gets married and has children, but doesn't know what kissing is.
Didn't he think marriage was, like, a food?
Yes.
Or something? Oh, my God. The scene where Vegeta is like, oh my god, you never kiss Chi-Chi? What is wrong with you?
Goku's like, what's kissing? And Vegeta's answer is, you are married and have children.
How do you not... I feel so bad for Chi-Chi. Poor okay, you know what? Chi-Chi. LVP to Goku for this bullshit.
Okay, can I do my quote?
Yes.
All right, it's when Mei is coaching Romeo on doing a Shakespearean speech to Juliet. And she says... Romeo, you have to use your diaphragm. That way, Juliet can use her diaphragm.
Wait, I'm sorry. They really said that?
No, they did not say that.
Oh my god. I was like, what? What
I was pulling a Jacob. That would be a fucking great line. I wish.
That would have blown my socks off if that really happened.
My actual quote is going to be Meowth in the Volbeat costume seducing Illumise. And he sings a song. Step right up, Illumise, baby, take a chance, and I don't mean maybe.
I love that. Okay. Was that all of yours?
That's all mine.
My MVP. You know what? This is going to be a rare Ash MVP, because Ash was a real one at the beginning, where he was like a total wingman, and he's like, no, I'm going to riz up Romeo. This guy is clearly suffering and needs help, and he didn't hesitate to... risk his own safety and jump in after a drowning man, which you never do, because when people are drowning, they use you as like a life vest, and you could end up drowning when they push off of you to stay above the water. So Ash really took his own life in his hands.
Ash will always, 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 always go out of his way to do a physical feat to save somebody. He will run into a fire to save a gloom.
He can't help himself. There's some kind of compulsion or something. Conversely, okay, my LVP is going to be Romeo because he was kind of pathetic, I'm sorry to say. However, there is a moment where they're all drowning in the water, and Juliet is also in the water, and he swims over to her and starts like hanging off of her.
I don't remember that.
Yes. Oh my goodness.
I completely missed that.
She's like, get off of me. Like, he's like clinging onto her, and it's just like the worst thing. It's like, dude, you are going to drown her. You're going to drown yourselves. This is horrible. And also just for being a sad sack and not just using his words and saying, hey, Juliet, I like you. Let's date.
Well, he's only 27 years old. You can't expect him to be that mature.
That's true. I say this like in real life, people aren't nervous enough to like share their feelings. And it's sometimes there's like a big question that goes unasked and unanswered because you're too nervous to find out how people really feel about you. So,
yeah, I've never experienced that problem.
Oh, such a charmed life. I guess things are only as complicated as you make them in certain instances. And this is one of those times. My quote is the only one that I had, which I thought this was really funny. Ash, I guess they were asking Romeo, like, what's the problem? Why do you get so nervous when you get around Juliet and all this stuff? And Ash remarks, well, that's really weird. I don't think I've ever been nervous in my life. Which I thought was really funny.
Ash, what about that time you were getting interviewed by DJ Mary at the radio station?
There have been times where he's been nervous, like Pokemon battles and different stuff.
Yeah, but he lives in the moment, so I can't fault him for his amnesia.
It must be really nice to be so self-assured and confident that you're really not thinking about being nervous. We should all follow Ash's example.
This podcast is supported by The RealReal. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The RealReal.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The RealReal? Game changer. I earn more and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell. Fast. To our 38 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The RealReal than anywhere else.
Exactly. This? That's the sound of your closet working for you. The RealReal. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And right now, you can get an extra $100 site credit when you sell for the first time. Go to TheRealReal.com to get your extra $100. TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com.
All right, let's let bagons be bagons.
All right. Bagels.
Are you ready, Alex, to summarize this episode?
Oh, Lord, not really, but I'll try my best.
Try your best in 3, 2, 1, go.
So we're walking through some cliffside area where they see a really interesting Pokemon who's launching itself off the cliff, and they almost get killed by it. And they take offense to this, so they try to battle it, but they're interrupted by a girl who has cheater goggles on, and the cheater goggles help her battle, and they're really unfair. Meanwhile, Team Rocket tries to steal the Bagon, and there's a jetpack, and Bagon is like, oh my god, finally I can realize my dream of flying, and it does, and it evolves into a Shelgon, and its dreams come true.
Okay, so like Alex said, we are walking through the cliff face area. We are doing so, and there's a Bagon on a cliff, and it jumps off, and it's gonna hit the twerps, oh my god! But it actually just hits a rock, and kind of jumps gracefully to its feet. And then it runs up to do it again, and is going to jump on them. And Ash is like, clearly it's battling us. We're going to fight it. So he sends out Talo to battle the Bagon. But what's funny is you pay attention, Bagon's actually completely ignoring Talo and just continuing to run up the cliff and then jump back down because it's practicing flying. And Talo's just kind of flying around going, Talo! And Bagon does not care.
I know, it really could not care less about what the fuck Ash is doing.
So at that point, Sage from the X-Men appears.
Sage?
Yeah, do you remember Sage?
I don't.
Okay, so Sage, you may have seen her, Alex, when we watched The Gifted.
I actually really liked that show.
I know you did. I sent you a picture in the chat.
Okay, I don't recall this character in The Gifted.
She was the one who has the power of her brain is a computer brain.
Oh, right. Okay.
So she looks at computer screens and she's like, I'm in the mainframe.
The mainframe.
Obviously, in the comics world, she wears red sunglasses that have like a heads-up display and show her information because she's a ninja hacker lady who like kicks you in the ass while she's looking up things in the server or whatever.
She wears her sunglasses at night.
Yes, she does. So that's what this girl does. Her name is actually Michelle. And like Sage, she wears the heads-up display visor over her eyes. And it's doing, like, calculus on everything around her at all times. So it shows, like, the degrees and, like, speed of velocity. And, like, it's doing equations to figure out what's the best way to move to the left or the right. I'm not exactly sure of the science of this. I think it's kind of like what people want Google Glass to be.
Yeah, oh my God, I was just thinking that. I remember when everybody thought that was going to be like the cool new thing and like you could just have your little computer glasses and like walk around and that wouldn't cause any problems or anything.
Yeah, it's stupid as shit. I mean, it's like in a million sci-fi and spy movies where like you put in the contacts and it shows you your mission objective and your line of sight or whatever.
This is very Matrix-y.
Oh, very Matrix-y. I mean, it's that time. The Matrix came out less than 10 years ago.
Yeah, it was true. It was like a huge thing.
So Michelle's here. She dodges some bullets by leaning back really far. And she rightfully is accusing the twerps of attacking her bagon. And the twerps are like, no, he didn't. It was attacking us. And I guess Michelle's like, that's not really true. I watched it with my night vision goggles. But I'll just take you at your word that that's what you believe. So the twerps ask, why is this bagon jumping off of cliffs? And Michelle says, it's wanting to learn how to fly. Isn't my bagon so silly? It wants to learn how to fly. Which I could have sworn was an aspect that all bagons have.
I'm pretty sure. I thought this was like a thing. I mean, it definitely was in the Pokédex, which I'm going to look up.
Yeah, like all bagons have a compulsion to soar through the air. But unfortunately, it has to go into a chrysalis form first of Shelgon before it finally turns into a dragon with wings. Salamence.
To answer your question, yes, the Pokédex entry of Ruby states, Bagon has a dream of one day soaring in the sky. In doomed efforts to fly, this Pokémon hurls itself off cliffs. As a result of the dives, its head has grown tough and hard as tempered steel. Sapphire's entry says, Bagon harbors a never-ending dream of one day soaring high among the clouds. As if trying to dispel its frustration over its inability to fly, this Pokémon slams its hard head against huge rocks and shatters them into pebbles. So it's always been that way.
Yeah, all Bagon have this compulsion to fly, but Dextet doesn't mention that, and neither does Michelle, and I guess her, like, sci-fi visor doesn't tell her this information. So she's just like, yeah, I have a weird Bagon, it wants to fly, unlike every other Bagon in the world.
So is she that self-absorbed that she thinks that hers is unique in that way and it wants to fly?
I think she only believes what her visor tells her is true.
Very short-sighted.
Meanwhile, Meowth is spying on them and tells us a boss fantasy of why Giovanni would want a Bagon. And
oh my God.
This is a good one.
This boss fantasy is crazy.
Okay, well, Chibi Giovanni is walking through the steamy hot jungle and he is so tired and so thirsty. Yeah, ooh, not that kind of steamy. It's more of a Dora the Explorer kind of hot jungle.
I don't know. This next part's pretty questionable in my opinion.
Well. What happens is Giovanni finds a coconut, and he can't tear it open with his teeth. But thankfully, Meowth and friends provided a bagon to crack it open with its skull. And so Giovanni is so excited that he pours the coconut milk all over his face, and it looks as if he's been in a Bukkake video, because all of a sudden, he's the adult Giovanni, and it's more like a Dora the Explorer porn parody than it is Dora the Explorer.
What is happening right now?
Yeah, there was a lot of coconut cum all over him.
Why was it coming out of his eyes? Why was it coming out of his eyes, Austin?
It's the worst when it gets in your eyes.
God.
What? Yeah, when you get coconut milk in your eyes.
Oh, right. Yeah, of course.
I hate coconut milk.
Yeah, I mean, I only ever use it for, like, cooking. I haven't drank coconut milk or coconut water.
Although I will say, it looks fucking good to drink something out of a coconut with a straw.
I've always seen, like, horror stories of people, like, cracking open a coconut or, like, sticking a straw in it, and it turns out it was full of, like, mold or some shit, and that just really seems horrendous to me.
Well, not Giovanni.
This was so suggestive. I could not believe it.
Oh, you can't believe that Meowth is imagining Giovanni covered with cum all over his face?
Coconut milk. There was so much. It was too much coconut milk. And it was on him. It was coming out of his eyes. It was crazy.
Okay, oh, so now it's time for a Pikachu versus Bagon practice battle.
Oh, God. The transition is jarring.
So Michelle's using her magic goggle to calculate Pikachu's quick attack stats, I guess, which somehow halves the impact of the blow. Bagon goes to attack Pikachu, and Pikachu dodges Matrix style, actually. But Bagon hits a rock, and it explodes into a million pebbles to Pikachu's absolute horror, because that could have been his skeleton.
I'm with Pikachu on this. Like, I would be completely paralyzed with fear if that was, like, 2 inches away from shattering every bone in my body. Just awful.
So Pikachu does thunder, and this time, what'd you think of this thunder animation? Because he's running on all fours, and the thunder comes up from his back and kind of forms a thunder strike coming off of him as he runs.
I'm not sure if I like it, to be honest. Maybe I'm in the minority here, but I like it when it's like coming out of the ground.
That is my preferred thunder animation, but I will say it gave me some foreshadowing for a Tackle of Volts.
Ah, yes. Mm-hmm. How could we forget? I wonder if this was like early inspo or if they were thinking about that at this point. I don't know.
I thought it looked decently cool. But basically, the battle is interrupted because Team Rocket fly in with a helicopter. And they strap a jetpack to Meowth that's controlled by, like one of those RC car control devices, like a toy.
Oh, those are so cool. I used to have an RC car. Oh, man, I wish I still had it. That was years ago. So fun.
Well, Team Rocket's having fun from their helicopter as they use jetpack Meowth to grab Bagon and fly off.
We never really talked about Michelle's goggles and how much of a cheater she is. Cheater, cheater, pumpkin eater.
Okay, go for it. I think she's just using her technology to see battling in a way that it's from a perspective that others might not consider.
I don't know if I agree. I think battling is supposed to be like skill and skill alone and like intuition. And it kind of goes against, maybe Ash is the old fashioned one. I don't know. But I think it's cheating if you can analyze moves ahead of time and like the field of where an attack is going to land. And like, I just think it's like using AI. It's like using AI now. Yeah, and yeah, you don't like that.
But I feel like it's like complicated information. Like Pikachu's running at 30 kilometers per hour, like kind of stuff.
Yeah, but that's supposed to be your skill as a trainer, using your intuition and using what you know and your knowledge to be like, okay, I'm going to use this strategy. Or if you don't, you know, your lack of knowledge would mean you lose the battle. Like, I just think using a tool like that is an enhancement that is unfair to the other person who doesn't have that advantage. That's my opinion, but I guess I'm old-fashioned like that.
I will object. I don't think Ash is old-fashioned. I think people usually approach Pokemon battling like a game of chess. And then Ash comes up and he takes the chessboard and hits you in the head with it.
I mean, it is still a viable strategy. I mean, I know we're thinking about it in terms of the game where everything is procedural and turn-based. And you're like, okay, first you move and then you move and then you move. But we know in a real life situation that that's not how it works. I just think having special AI glasses that like tell you the next thing that's going to happen is totally cheating. Like, is she going to use those in gym battles and shit? Like, I feel like that would be against the rules.
Well, but if like real life AI, the visor is actually like not reliable and the visor is like, make pizza using glue.
Well, then she deserves to lose because she was not using her common sense and relying on bad information.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Trainers! Which one of these Pokemon evolves into Grovyle? Ninkata, Lotad, or Treecko?
I think it's definitely Lotad.
Okay, trainers. If you said Lotad, you were fucking stupid.
Oh, God.
Meanwhile, okay.
Did Ash get it right? Did Ash get it right when he said Treecko? He better have.
Ash got that one right.
Thank God he has one.
Meanwhile, Team Rocket have dropped the RC car remote control, and Michelle picks it up. It's basically out of control, and Meowth and Bagon careen into a tree. Jesse and James go in their helicopter, and they catch up with Meowth and the Bagon. And Bagon is really into this jetpack. Bagon is like, oh my God, I want to fly again. That was so cool and so fun. Meowth's like, interesting. So he has a second boss fantasy.
Y'all, you're not prepared. I wasn't prepared.
In this boss fantasy, Giovanni is on his helicopter. when he wants to have a coconut. But
what the fuck?
He finds a coconut in his helicopter and he can't open it. So thank God Bagon is there to fly up, like levitate up into wherever the helicopter is, open the coconut with his head so that Giovanni can once again cry tears of semen from the coconut.
He can bathe in the milky white fluid of the coconut and it can fall all over him and run down his face and yeah.
Meowth can relate to this because he's very sentimental these days.
I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. This was completely, I think of all the boss fantasies that we've ever had, this was the most unexpected. I love this. I thought this was absolutely ridiculous.
It was good. It was a good boss fantasy.
Oh, God. The comedic timing was fantastic.
So Meowth sympathizes not only with white fluid on Giovanni's face, but with Bagon's plight, because he too once had an impossible dream, and he taught himself how to speak. And James is like, oh boy, here we fucking go again.
I'm glad we got the callback to Meowth's early days and the whole learning to speak human language and stuff like that.
Meanwhile, the twerps are pursuing Team Rocket, because of course Team Rocket has stopped even though they have a helicopter. And Michelle's like, wow, Ash, you're really special with the way you use your Pokemon. And Ash is like, yeah, I believe in them, and we practice together, and we achieve results. Michelle's like, oh my god, you practice with your Pokemon and try and, like, figure out what their goals are and try to achieve them by working with them in tandem? That's so cool and unique and original. I'm going to do that, too. Like, wow. What? Cool, Michelle. Are you humoring him? What's going on?
No, I think the whole purpose of it, I mean, it was a little bit of a weird way to kind of express it, but I think what they're going for here is Ash is all about emotions and the vibe and really like bonding with your Pokemon and having this visceral connection. And she's just very like, domo arigato, Mr. Roboto. Like she's very, very analytical, right? She's very analytical and can't really do anything without the help of these like computery tools. And so the idea of like bonding and oh my god, feeling the emotion, like that's new to her. I think that's the whole point, right? Like okay. I guess that's kind of what they're going for.
I mean, I would argue what she's doing is she's training with her Bagon to help it evolve and
but she's not learn how feeling to... okay, like Bagon whatever. Is feeling like the feeling, Austin.
I'm so sorry we don't all express ourselves in the exact same way that's acceptable.
I don't know. Something Pokemon, something feeling, something friendship.
Ash is the chosen one. He's the best that there is, and he knows what the right thing to do at all times. Okay.
Exactly.
So, the twerps catch up with Team Rocket, and they battle. And Michelle uses her visor because Trico jumps on top of Bagon in the jetpack, and they fly up, and they attack Team Rocket when they steal Pikachu. And there's a kind of funny moment where Jesse sends out Seviper, but there's not enough room in the cockpit of the helicopter. LOL. So funny. And they are blasted off, and everyone comes back to the ground, and Bagon evolves into a Shelgon. The end.
Okay, I have to ask, does Shelgon get its own episode later, or is this like the one time that we see the Shelgon?
I'm pretty sure Drake from the Elite Four has a Shelgon, but I don't know if it gets its own episode. I don't think it does.
Okay, so this was like, how do we fit Shelgon into something, because we're not giving it its own episode. Got it.
Yeah, Bagon got the episode, and Shelgon made a cameo at the end.
I mean, what's the Shelgon really going to do? I mean, it's just sort of there.
No.
Okay.
Bagon's cute, but it's not like, I don't adore it or anything.
I mean, my preference is Flygon. Flygon is the better of the dragon Pokemon.
I don't like Bagon's mullet.
Mullet. Oh, yeah, it's like, yeah.
I do like how the skull mullet starts on Bagon, and then it completely enwraps Shelgon. And then when it's Salamence, that protective gear is now on its belly.
Oh, yeah.
So it kind of travels through the body. That's kind of cool.
I mean, sure. I mean, Salamence is fun. Is it a pseudo-legendary? Is it considered a pseudo-legendary?
I think so.
Okay, the pseudo-legendary Pokemon are Dragonite, Tyranitar, Salamence, and Metagross, Garchomp, and Hydreigon.
But not Flygon.
Nope. Goodra, Kamo-O, and Dragapult. And then, yeah. Oh, and sorry, Baxcalibur.
Love Baxcalibur.
What's your favorite pseudo-legendary, Austin? I have to know.
I don't know. Let's ask the Dragonite coin.
Is it really Dragonite?
No, it's not. Do the list again. Metagross.
Okay. There's Dragonite, Tyranitar, Salamence, Metagross, Garchomp, Hydreigon, Goodra, Kamo-O, Dragapult, Baxcalibur.
Metagross.
Metagross, really?
Yeah.
It's not even a dragon type. Wowzers.
I like that. It's different from the others because they're mostly draconic.
Yeah, technically Tyranitar is not a dragon type, but it looks kind of dragon-y.
Well, whatever. So. He's still a Godzilla-like thing.
This is tough. I don't know what my favorite is. I think my favorite is Goodra.
I knew you were going to say Goodra.
I love it. It's so cute. Oh, my goodness.
Can I flip the Dragonite coin?
Yes, you can. MVP LVP quote.
The pseudo-legendary coin says I'm first.
Okay, go for it.
My MVP is going to be Meowth for his vivid imagination.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
My LVP is going to be Dextet for not informing us that all Bagons like to fly.
Great choices.
My quote's going to be Ash saying, "Hey, that's not fair." And Jesse says, "It's also not fair that I'm both brilliant and beautiful, but that's the way it is."
I love that. She's so self-confident.
Love a Jesse Diva moment.
My LVP, I guess, is going to be Michelle and her stupid goggles. Because I just think that she is a cheating cheater using her AI to cheat her way to victory and not going on vibes. I think we've just spent too long with Ash. We've spent too long with Ash and we just, that's kind of how I see everything now is like vibes and feelings and stuff like that. So
aura.
Aura powers and the power of friendship and all this. My MVP is, help me out. I don't know. Who deserves it?
MVP. Okay. MVP. Who are all the characters? Bagon, Trico, Taylor, Pikachu, May, Max, Brock, Jesse James.
Giovanni.
You know
what? I'm going to give my MVP to that coconut.
Oh.
For really working overtime and all that fucking coconut milk that came out. Because that was crazy. My quote is, Jesse and James have found Meowth and Bagon, who have crash-landed in the woods after their misadventure with the jetpack. And Jesse and James are kind of kneeling over Meowth. Jesse says, "Come on, Meowth, pull yourself together. You don't appear to be too badly injured." Or I think that was James. James says, "You don't appear to be too badly injured." And Meowth says, "The damage is mostly psychological."
That was pretty funny.
And I felt that. So, okay, that's it.
All right. Well, you didn't care for those episodes.
They weren't the best.
I don't think they were the best, but I'm very nostalgic for them, so I can't be objective. Sorry.
I didn't realize that these were the ones that, like, turned you back on after, like, Emerald.
Honestly, I think it was largely contests that turned me back on to the Pokemon anime.
It was a novel thing at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So what do we have to look forward to next week?
Okay, we're going to go a bit out of sequence here. Sorry, y'all.
Okay.
Because next we have a two-parter in the main series, and there's a Chronicles episode that came out between these two episodes in Japan, but we're just going to do the two-parter.
Consistency is key.
It's going to be a wild one, because those two episodes are The Princess and the Togepi.
Oh my gosh.
And a Togepi Mirage.
Is this what I think is going to happen is going to happen? Okay.
Yeah, this is it. This is the big one, I guess.
Okay, I'm not trying to spoil too much, because obviously we'll do the episode and it'll come out in a couple weeks, but I forgot that all of this stuff came back. Like, we circled back to these older characters and, like, brought back some things and resumed plot lines, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I completely forgot that we had to skip ahead so far into, like, Hoenn to get to those resolutions. Like, I completely forgot about it.
Well, I think for the most part, Chronicles is doing all the heavy lifting for all that stuff because it's, like, extra content.
Yeah.
I think this is really the first time in the main episodes anyone's come back in any big way.
Okay, minor spoiler question.
Okay, minor spoiler answer.
When does Fampi come back?
Sooner than you might think.
Okay.
When do you think Fampi comes back?
God, see, I don't know. My memory is a blur. I want to say in the next, like, 10 episodes or something.
No, you're way off. No, not that soon.
Okay, so the next 30 episodes.
Okay, spoiler over, spoiler over. You can stop skipping now.
Okay, spoiler over. That was an example of, like, something that returned that I was like, I forgot this happened. Oh, okay.
Okay, great. Okay.
All right, so we'll look forward to that. Any other final thoughts, Austin?
I think everyone should check out the Patreon for our special drying pan after dark discussion that we just had.
Yeah, absolutely. We had a debate on whether to keep it in or out, and
it got pretty serious at the end there.
Yeah, so if your curiosity is getting the better of you, check out our Patreon. We would really appreciate the support, you guys. We had fun. Thank you guys so much for joining us this week. We look forward to seeing you guys again next week. If you want to get in touch with us, you can always do that. We have our Gmail account. You can send us an email, outofthedryingpan@gmail.com. Again, outofthedryingpan@gmail.com. You can also follow us over on our Blue Sky. We have a Blue Sky account, as well as an Instagram. The same handle, @outofthedryingpan. You can follow us over there, reach out to us. We also, like we mentioned, we have a Patreon. If you like what we do and you want to support us, we would very much appreciate it. We have all kinds of cool bonus content over there that you guys can check out. So please give it a look. And as always, we want to say thank you guys so much for listening. And we will see you next week as the journey continues.